Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after the break for non-members, Johnny Fairplay joins me for the WWE Raw 2 for 20. WWE Raw is in the books, and I am joined by Johnny Fairplay to discuss a few of the items coming out of that show. We introduced the 2 for 20 format last week. Eventually want to get SmackDown in the mix, but Impact Wrestling / Global Force Wrestling / whatever they are this week is holding a conference call tomorrow. So you'll be getting that as the All Access Daily Podcast coming up on Wednesday. But today, it's a 2 for 20, and it's a very complicated formula. I know, numbers throw me off. I see numbers, I start to get nervous. 2 for 20, are you ready for this? Means two people talk about something for 20 minutes. Can you handle that?
No one said there would be math, Jason.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not the math guy, but even I can follow this formula, so hopefully everyone is on the same page here. But let's talk about Monday's Raw. Let's start with obviously the biggest story, I would say, coming out of the show is the announcement of the four-way match for SummerSlam. It's going to be Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe. Are you satisfied with that? There was a lot of people would prefer a singles match, but I'm normally one of them. In this case, I'm like, no, this is about as big as you can do. Go for it.
No, this is exactly what I wanted. So, and I was scared they were going to do the three-way, and then we're going to have the Braun run-in, you know, during the pay-per-view, and I don't think that would have been. I think we're going to get a satisfying match, and I think we're going to get a satisfying finish.
Do you think we get a title change here with all the buzz about Brock Lesnar and potentially doing business with UFC, and we know his contract is coming up post-WrestleMania, so he's still going to be around for a while, and my guess is that even if he goes to UFC, why wouldn't you just take the bonus money that WWE throws at you for that schedule? They don't seem to have an issue with him fighting. So he may be around for a while, but still, a lot of thought that maybe, just maybe, they want to get the title back on somebody who's actually wrestling full-time.
Yeah, well, as far as Brock Lesnar's concerned, real quick, my guess is he goes to Bellator and fights Fedor.
Ooh. There was a time when that would have been the biggest fight that they could have come up with. And now it just doesn't appeal to me. And I guess I'll be surprised. I haven't really heard much about Bellator. Do they have the money? I don't follow it closely enough to know. When I think of big money, I think of UFC.
I think they like to waste money. And I think that would be a great waste of a money fight. So if I'm Bellator and I'm stupid, I think that's the perfect way to waste my money and probably not get back the money that I waste on it on those two.
Well, it's Brock Lesnar, brings a lot of attention to your brand. It brings some credibility with the mainstream, not so much credibility with the MMA diehards who, in some cases, still take issue with Brock Lesnar, even though he's been highly successful. I don't think the drug test failure helped him any when it came to that credibility. But Bellator would be interesting for him, if only because I think he would be more of a player in that heavyweight division if that's something he's interested in. But anyway, let's focus on WWE here in SummerSlam because Lesnar's the great unknown. So do you think we get a title change? And if so, who does it go to?
Samoa Joe.
Why is that?
We talked a couple weeks ago on the .NET Weekly, and I'm all for the scenario. Joe keeps reminding the viewers that he has Roman Reigns' number, and I think that's going to come into play. I think Samoa Joe pins Roman Reigns in this four-way and becomes the new champion. I think somehow we get Roman Reigns moved away from Joe. I think we'll possibly get a Joe versus Reigns match, with Braun Strowman interference or maybe even whoever else, some kind of interference where Joe wins. But I think Joe keeps the title all the way to Royal Rumble, and he drops it back to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar does have Samoa Joe's number. And then WrestleMania, we get the match that we've all been looking forward to, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, with Roman Reigns finally winning the belt. Yeah. I think the Shield reunion, and my official guess is the Shield feuding with Finn Balor and the Broken Hardys is going to take us through the Survivor Series months.
Who's the heels there?
I don't know. I guess Finn Balor and the Broken Hardys, and I have no problem with that whatsoever.
See, I would love to see the Shield as the heels, as unrealistic as it may be due to Vince McMahon's reluctance to turn Roman Reigns. I just, man, those guys running roughshod again, facing the very popular Hardys and Finn Balor, I think would be a lot of fun. What about the scenario that, I guess the other way to look at this four-way main event, there were two rumored matches for SummerSlam, singles matches. One initially was Braun Strowman and challenging Lesnar. That's not happening. The other was heavily rumored here up until recently, Reigns against Lesnar. Is there a good chance in your mind that if they were going to go with Roman facing Brock Lesnar, that really this is just a way to get the title on Roman?
I don't think so. I mean injuries are usually like the worst thing in wrestling. I think the injury to Braun Strowman breathes so much life into Raw. It's amazing. So because I think you know that they were forced to plug Joe into that that main event for Great Balls of Fire, and you have three studs aiming for that belt, but I still think Vince wants his WrestleMania moment with Brock and Roman Reigns.
And I think the match will be fairly telling in terms of, because one of the issues I know from talking with Wade at the Torch, he was reluctant for them when it came to going with the four-way because he was worried about giving away Lesnar and Strowman in this match. So I'm curious to see when the match takes place, do they go all out with those guys? Do they structure the match in a way that, yeah, you get a taste of it, but they're left apart for the most part? And you can do stuff like that in a four-way where, they get center stage, you get just a couple of quick back-and-forth exchanges, nothing more. If we get that, that could be a sign, Johnny, that they're going with Strowman and Lesnar coming up at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think we're definitely getting a taste, and if I'm WWE, I call Pat Patterson and say, put this thing together. So, I mean, you have a couple teases of Brock and Strowman, in the maybe middle of the match. And then the finish is Strowman hitting something big on Roman Reigns, Strowman feeding out to Brock outside the ring. They're kind of battling, but nothing too intense, just back and forth punches or holding each other, whatever. And then Samoa Joe, locking in the Kikina clutch or the muscle buster on Roman Reigns.
With Joe, why him? Why do you think? Why is he the right guy to put over, make the new Universal Champion?
Because I think they're saving the moment for Reigns for WrestleMania, and Braun doesn't need the belt. So, and Brock, if he's not going to be here, put the belt on someone that's going to be here.
My take on Joe, I think it's whether they do it or not, I don't know, but I like the idea of Joe as champion because I think he comes across as the most vulnerable of the four. You put the title on Roman, and I think people are going to assume, well, he's going to hold the title for a while. Same with Braun Strowman, where you put it on Joe, and he starts facing Lesnar again, Strowman, Reigns, and I think there's going to be the feeling that from a lot of especially casual fans that he's vulnerable. We could see a title
Finn Balor.
Here. Finn Balor, absolutely. So I think it's intriguing. I don't, I really don't know who's going to win. And that's kind of the fun part about this four-way main event. I hope it doesn't leak. I hope they're able to kind of protect the betting odds for a change. And we actually get some mystery going into SummerSlam. If it's not Joe, who's your second pick to win?
Lesnar retains.
Okay. So no chance that Vince is looking at this as, well, yeah, we could have Roman beat Brock, but why not have him beat all three?
Because I think we're getting the Shield, and I don't think Roman needs to have the belt with the Shield.
Well, let's talk about the other Shield members. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, they had their main event of the show against the Miztourage, Miz, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, and they gave them the win, Rollins and Ambrose, that is. And then afterward is where I felt things kind of got interesting. I thought the match was pretty straightforward. I thought there was an opportunity there could have been a little mystery when Rollins threw that high knee from the ropes. I thought they could have played it up as, you know, who is he really aiming for? But they didn't go there.
Right, they didn't have Bobby Heenan to say, what side is he on with that knee?
Well, right now it seems like they're making Seth look like he's very apologetic. And I mean, he finally came out and verbalized his apology. And he's trying to make amends. And Ambrose is the guy who's still very reluctant. Seth hugged him afterward. Ambrose didn't seem to want any part of that. He wasn't rude. He just didn't reciprocate. And then Rollins did the Shield fist bump, and Ambrose left him hanging. And so where is this going? I mean, it sounds like you believe a full-fledged Shield reunion is happening sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I can tell you from experience, Dean Ambrose does not like hugs, because when I hugged him, he hated it.
He was okay. Not...
My only problem with the story is you would think Roman Reigns would have had just as big a chip on his shoulder. And wasn't there just an immediate forgiveness from Roman Reigns to Seth Rollins that one, you know, when Seth came to help him out on a 2-on-1 attack?
It was weird. There was some reluctance when I think they were put together in a match. The weird thing is, like, they put them together. They worked fine. Then I think it was the next time they went to put them together again, then there was some reluctance and they weren't on the same page or something backstage. So it's been weird. They haven't done a good job with that. You're right.
Yeah. And then, like, I saw a house show where it was the two of them versus Bray Wyatt and God, I don't even know who his partner was. And they were best friends. I mean, I'm pretty sure they made out. I didn't take pictures.
But no hugs, because Dean Ambrose hates hugs.
Yeah, well, no, it was Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins made out.
Oh, gotcha.
So they were BFFs. So I that's my only problem with this story. I think they're the reluctant. I mean, you know, because I was watching with my girlfriend last night, and you know, and she hasn't watched in a while, and you know, and at the end of the match, I was just like, you know, come on, you know, put the hand up for the do the Shield thing, and she goes there, she goes, he has a right to be pissed off. He stabbed him in the back, and I was like, wow, look at you remembering old storylines. You know, why don't you talk to Vince about that?
So. Yeah, it. I like that they're dragging this out.
I'm all in. I'm cool with it. I'm very cool with it. But I wish they had told that middle chapter with Roman Reigns a little better.
It seemed like week one when they started doing this. It seemed like, you know, there were calls for Roman Reigns. Fans were chanting for him. Is it just me, or at least with this particular crowd, maybe it's a sign of things to come? People seemed content with just Rollins and Ambrose out there together.
Well, you don't need a third against the Miztourage.
No,
I mean, it was a handicap match with Rollins and Ambrose together. That was the handicap match against the Miztourage. It was two against nothing. So yeah, that was the problem there. So no, I don't know how mean the DC crowd is. I feel like DC has a little bit of Philly bleeding down into it. So I think that crowd is not a Roman friendly crowd. So, I mean, I think if they're in like Atlanta or, you know, somewhere, you know, Minneapolis, you might get the Roman chant there.
Yeah. It seemed like, you know, week one, again, the fans were chanting for him. And I just wonder if now the storyline between these two is compelling enough that fans are content letting it play out. Yeah. And then when the time is right, yeah, you know, you can, if they are going full on Shield reunion, then they start doing things that creates that need. Like, why isn't Roman coming out? They are getting beat down 3-on-2 situations, and people are hoping to see Roman Reigns. I think there's definitely a way to accomplish that. You know, Miztourage, you said there's, you know, it's basically a handicap match in favor of Rollins and Ambrose. Is there anything there with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel now teaming with Miz?
No, I mean, I think there could have been if, like, Bo Dallas's look is so low budget. I mean, like, I want him to go away and never come back. Like, I'm that just it's horrible. It's horrible. And like, I think Curtis Axel, like, he took one step in the right direction, you know, cleaning himself up. But I mean, but then two steps back because he went so far clean, he went nerd. So there's nothing there. It's bad.
I'm not completely down on Bo's look, but the last time he spoke, it was like he's the same guy, and it just kind of felt like there needed to be some sort of if you're going to change the look, there should have been kind of an image change to go along with it, and it just seemed like he's the same guy who cut those promos in NXT, and obviously he is, but you know what I'm saying? It just, there should have been a reason for it. Like, there should have been an attitude change almost, and I really didn't pick up on that. Not that he'd been given a lot of mic time.
He should have been a Wyatt, is what he should have been.
Well, I mean, they can always play that card. I don't know. If they're going to do it, I hope they really have something big in mind. I don't want to just see him be a lackey like he is right now for Bray. I think there's an interesting story there to tell with the two of them being real life brothers.
Well, think about like Raven with Stevie Richards. Mm-hmm. I could live with that scenario with Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas.
Okay. Sheamus and Cesaro were shown watching this match on a backstage monitor. They were also shown watching the whole scenario with the Revival, Anderson, Gallows, and then the Hardys. Are they setting up some monstrosity of a tag match for SummerSlam as they've been known to do? I mean, my thought is I kind of like the idea of Rollins and Ambrose going after the tag titles, but I'd rather see it in a single. I don't know that I need all these other teams. I want to see the other teams get on the show, but I just don't need another five-way tag match or whatever it would be.
I think we get a five-way tag match. You know, I don't mind. I like all the participants, and I usually don't like the multi-tag stuff. I mean, because you usually, you know, get the Ascensions and the Hype Brothers of the world. I can live with Sheamus, Cesaro, Rollins, and Ambrose, the Hardys, Revival, and the Club. I don't have a problem with those people being in a match together.
I guess I'm okay with it if there's a way to, or I'll accept it. I'd much rather see just the straight up single, or, you know, tag team versus tag team. But if they're going to find ways, and hopefully they can, of telling this Rollins and Ambrose story, I don't want that just to be kind of put aside while five teams fight it out. I hope there's some key moments in there where they can continue to tell this whole story. Are you high on Sheamus and Cesaro as a tag team? Are they doing okay in your mind?
I think they're great. I don't think the bar thing's getting over at all.
No, that hasn't clicked.
Yeah. I hit up Jimmy Jacobs about me managing Sheamus and Cesaro. So, and he liked the idea, but didn't see it happening.
Good luck with that one. You got to try.
Yeah, I thought it was a good fit.
What makes it a good fit? Sell me on this.
They need a mouthpiece. They can't talk for themselves. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be me, but I think they need a manager. I think a great heel tag team needs a manager.
What about
always will.
What about the Revival? Do they need a manager?
I think they could use one.
I do too. You know, I really do. I think Dawson cuts decent promos. I think Dash is pretty limited.
Yeah. So, but I don't care. I mean, go back. I mean, the Midnight Express would not have been the level they were without Jim Cornette. I don't think Demolition would have been as good as they would have without Mr. Fuji. And I think Mr. Fuji sucked.
Except for his parties.
Yes, his parties sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Brain Busters with Bobby Heenan, Tully and Arn with J.J. Dillon. The Bulldogs with Matilda.
You know, it's weird. You're pointing to some acts that I think, as much as I like J.J. Dillon, I think Tully and Arn would have been fine without a manager because they were both really good promos. Now, I'm not saying that Bobby Heenan and JJ didn't enhance their acts to some degree, but I think that's a team where, and even Demolition, like, did Fuji add something? Maybe, but I don't think every team necessarily, every heel team needs a manager, but I do think that you've given a couple, we've covered a couple of examples of teams that, probably could, because I think there's a reason we see so little of Sheamus and Cesaro on Raw lately.
Yeah.
I guess Anderson and Gallows, since we're talking about them, last night they played the babyface role against the Revival, but then they were ready to fight the Hardys, so there's been no turn here. There really don't seem to be much in the way of turns in WWE these days.
No.
Are those two going to be baby faces going forward, or was this just kind of a one-off?
I have no clue. I think just a one-off. So I spoke with Wade Keller from the Wade Keller Podcast One podcast.
Yeah.
Wrestling. I totally said that completely wrong. And I meant, like, as far as, like, you know, face turns and heel turns, I think we were we're stuck with the Charlotte non-official face turn, but she is a face for now, and the Sasha non-heel turn that is coming because of San Diego Comic-Con, to have them all baby faces for the Mattel Barbie WB women's wrestler line.
I got you. So yeah, keep them all baby faces for now. I mean looking at the landscape here on Raw, I guess they could use another babyface tag team. They broke up Enzo and Cass. It's the Hardys. That seemed to be the only team. I guess Ambrose and Rollins, as long as they team together. I would actually give it a shot. The crowd reacted to them calling it DC a good brother town. They reacted to the whole nerd thing from Revenge of the Nerds.
I'm kind of shocked that that's getting over.
Yeah, I know. Like, wow, we're doing a throwback to Revenge of the Nerds. But hey, if it works, it works.
They are likable. I mean, I know Luke. I mean, I've known him for years. I mean, he's a funny dude. He's a nice, you know, and once again, I mentioned to Wade last night, you know, like I pop every time Anderson talks about his hot Asian wife.
Yeah.
So there is something there. But I mean, my only problem with that is, you know, I think we all wanted Finn Balor with the club, and I mean, they've been dropping the hints of Finn Balor with the Hardys. So that's the for me the muddy waters that I don't like here.
You mentioned Sasha and Bayley, and this will kind of I do want to get into Jason Jordan, so we might go a little bit over on our time here today. It's not an exact 20-minute thing, folks, but somewhere in the neighborhood.
Oh, no, I pressed the hang-up button.
Well, you know,
Jason will keep talking for 20 more, but it's...
I've been known to fly solo. I can handle it.
I fly solo every night around 11:15.
I bet you do. Sasha and Bayley. The match, so Sasha loses the match. Bayley gets... It was a weird finish with Sasha hitting a frog splash, Bayley just rolling her over and getting the pin.
It was horrible.
Well, is this... Horrible. Yeah, I didn't care for the finish. I thought
it made no sense. How does she hit the frog splash? Like, it wasn't momentum that pulled her over.
The only thing I could come up with when I was doing audio last night for the members was that, and I was really reaching, it's like, well, Rob Van Dam, when he would hit the frog splash, would always get up and sell the ribs. You know, it would take him a little bit before he would cover his opponent. So I don't know if that's what they had in mind. Like, she was also in
Rob Van Damming it?
I guess. I don't know. It was, now she does the Eddie Guerrero version. Did Eddie do that too?
I don't think so. All I saw was Bayley, Ultimate Warrior, no selling a frog splash and doing a roll up.
Yeah, it was strange. But I guess the big question is, where's this going? I mean, we know Bayley has the title shot. That can change. It's a big WWE show. They like to have these multi-person matches, and we already talked about the potential of a big tag match. We got a four-way in the main event. Two questions. Does that match stick, or do they add people to it? And also, is this a step towards Sasha turning potentially?
Yeah, Sasha's definitely turning. I think Sasha costs Bayley the match in Sasha's hometown in Brooklyn.
Oh, interesting. Well, do we run the risk that she gets a mega cheer when she turns then? I mean, is that...
See, that's the problem, because I think people like Alexa Bliss, and I think people are at this point are tired of the Bayley character.
I think people are warming up to Bayley a little bit again. I feel like she has a little momentum again over the last couple of weeks.
But I mean, if you asked 9 out of 10 WWE fans to place Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, and Bayley in order of how much they like them, I think Bayley is third, 9 out of 10.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I just don't think the booking has done her any favors. But she feels like she's slowly but surely getting back on track. I don't think she'll ever live up to the potential of the Bayley gimmick that we saw in NXT. Had that been done on the main roster, my God, the money they would have made. And they just haven't done a great job with it. But with Sasha, I mean, there have been so many times where it's like, hey, they're going to turn her. Now's the time. Because her character is so rough around the edges, and it just seems like she should be the heel. So I think they're looking in that direction. But, Johnny, I can't say for sure because I felt like there have been plenty of opportunities to turn her, and they just haven't pulled the trigger.
I think they had to wait for the stupid San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, I think that's a big deal to do women's Barbie doll, women's WWE Barbie dolls. I think that's a big – like, my daughter is at Disney World with her mom this week, but I think when she gets back and I show those to her, she's going to want them. I think it's a big coup, and props to them for doing that.
Now, are they action figures or Barbie dolls?
They're Barbie dolls.
They are, okay.
Yeah, they're Barbie dolls. It's the Bella twins. One of them drinks too much, and the other one's pregnant. She can't take bumps. And then there's Sasha Banks, Bailey, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch.
Okay, so it is all baby faces. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there definitely could be something behind that theory, or something to that theory.
As I said, San Diego Comic-Con is a pop culture phenomenon. I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, like, we got the Stranger Things season 2 trailer. We got the Justice League trailer. You know, WWE and Mattel, their big thing for San Diego Comic-Con were these figures. So I think the writing staff was told, drag their feet on Sasha Banks until we're done with this. Because I mean, I think it just, you know, like, I applaud them for keeping the people in the characters that they needed to be for this thing.
Yeah, if that's the approach they're taking, I guess, yeah, I could see why. I mean, I would hope it's not going to cause them to drag their feet because once the dolls hit the market.
Oh, we're good now. We can turn Sasha tomorrow. We're fine.
Right.
Okay, that's it.
Hey, so, finally.
And Charlotte, please pretend like she was never a baby face, and I'm good with that, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Finally, Jason Jordan, night one, essentially, as far as him being an active wrestler on Raw. What did you think?
I didn't like it, but, I mean, I Wade Keller on his podcast one show that you can listen to at podcast one, he kind of convinced me, like he looked at it like everything I hated about it, he liked about it. So I saw Rocky Maivia 2.0, and I mean, like, his grins were killed me, and you know, and he had butterflies in his stomach against his match against Curt Hawkins.
I'm not a poet.
Yeah, I don't. If I had a match with Curt Hawkins, I would not have butterflies in my stomach. And I'm Johnny Fairplay. I don't have any credentials.
So, what if you were super kicked by the Young Bucks?
I could get super kicked by the Young Bucks. You never know.
Would you have Stranger butterflies?
Yes, I would definitely have butterflies.
Okay.
So, but not a match against Curt Hawkins like that. That I hated. His picture they used for his for his cryo, what are those things called? When they show your picture with your name on the screen?
Oh, I can't even think of it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
his the graphic. Picture, that's what I just call it.
Yeah, that's like really cheesy and bad, and I think that's purposely done too. So, like, this grin thing just makes me want to punch him in the face. So, but I think this is all like just part of when this big reveal is he's not Kurt's kid, it's going to be great. So, like, I watched it last night, did not enjoy it, but looking back, I think I might love it.
And if it is a big ruse, is this Triple H and Stephanie, because they're the only people who are portrayed as this intelligent in WWE, even though Bray Wyatt's a master manipulator, supposedly?
Well, he is the eater of worlds, but he's not smart.
Apparently so not, yeah.
That's the difference. You can eat worlds, but be a dum-dum.
So. I thought Jordan, like the promo, yeah, Rocky Maivia, I used the same description. It was, you know, just big, smiling baby face, and the fans are most likely going to turn against that if that sticks. What he did in the ring, though, I thought there was kind of a – he flipped a bit of a switch. There was some good intensity there. And it could be that, well, there's – you know, this guy has a bit of a dark side to him too. But it also could just be, no, they wanted to show that, yeah, he's not just all smiles. He gets in the ring. He can go. And I actually liked that they didn't have him use – the Olympic slam and the ankle lock night one. I think you save that for if they're going any length of time with the, you know, decent length of time with him playing this babyface role. I think you save that for key moments, key matches where all of a sudden he breaks that out, rather than just night one he's doing all of Kurt's spot, because I think then you run the risk that the crowd just starts to roll their eyes going, okay, he's a Kurt clone.
I felt like we had too much thrown at us last night, that this thing's going to go a lot faster than it should.
So you think that it's going to be revealed as a ruse sooner rather than later?
I think so. I mean, because we got the all gee shucks. We got the I'm smiling, but I might not really be a good guy. We got the I got a killer instinct in the ring that, you know, that Booker, you know, was telling us, you know, for Vince McMahon, hey, you know, he's really dark, and you know, you're supposed to catch this clue because Booker's going to scream it out, Bobby Heenan, NWO style, and then what else? There's something else. It's just so much just jammed into there. I'm just like, there, all that didn't need to be in that one match. So, and it was all, and that's week, essentially week one for this. And I just thought it was too much. I think they could have done a little more baby steps. So the fact that they didn't, I think we get this reveal real soon.
Well, this has been too much. We've gone long, but at any rate, Johnny, you mentioned you were on Wade Keller's Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can do a search in iTunes for that. You discuss Raw in great length there, so everyone be sure to check that out. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Johnny Fairplay, that's JONNYFAIRPLAY, Fairplay, Johnny, no H in Johnny. If you check my tweets, I got autographed Johnny Fairplay picks. I got some cool stuff on eBay. I have a 1989 BC Boys sealed original release 12-inch. That's a record. Nah, get your mind out of the gutter, Jason Powell. And I got lots of other fun stuff. I will be tonight watching Journey in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this Saturday, I will be watching Ring of Honor Wrestling, cheering on my good friends, the Young Bucks.
With Bruce Mitchell.
I don't know if he's going to be sitting with me.
Is he not your good friend? The Young Bucks are better friends?
Oh, God, yeah. Bruce didn't give me nothing. Young Bucks give me T-shirts and cell phone cases, and they got all kinds of cool merch. Hot Topic, brother.
That's very true. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hey, while you're looking for the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, wherever you find your podcast to hear Johnny's show, do me a favor. Go in and give us a rating. We would really appreciate it. Subscribe to our daily podcast. All that good stuff, anything you do in that form is helping spread the word about our daily podcast. Just a reminder that coming up on Wednesday is the Impact Wrestling / Global Force Wrestling podcast. It's a conference call that we're turning into a podcast with Dutch Mantel and Bruce Pritchard taking questions from the pro wrestling media. But I will be by later
on. You know.
Yeah, and later on this evening, I will be by with a member-exclusive audio review of WWE SmackDown. For membership information, visit the main page of prowrestling.net and click into the sign-up area. I promise we won't go this long every time, but I had Johnny the Mouth Fairplay on here. Of course I was going to go long. Take care, everybody.